The last Sunday before lockdown, I started a new series sharing what I feel God has laid on my heart to step into, moving away from administration into a new role, focused on the church, equipping each of us to be the people God wants us to be from Sunday through to the next Sunday. Little did any of us realise that that would be the last Sunday we could gather in a big crowd for some time. And it struck me that the message I shared then about God being at work in our scattered lives was suddenly even more pertinent now than it was before. So this morning I'd like to revisit some of the things I shared to encourage you to listen to them with new ears in our new contexts. Being apart has been hard, but I've heard so many encouraging stories of God being at work as people have taken hold of praying and seeking God more, reading their Bibles and encountering him as the word comes alive, encouraging one another through phone calls, distant visits, letters, and many, many texts, emails and WhatsApp messages, still being the body of Christ even when we can't gather. And you're being Christ in your communities too, to your neighbours, family, work colleagues, through conversations, acts of kindness, practical help, just being there for people. I know that God is not on pause during this time and that it didn't come as a surprise to him. And I also think he isn't waiting for things to get back to normal. He wants us to continue seeking him and asking him, what are you doing in this moment, so that we can partner with him and do what we see the Father doing? Last time we looked at how God is interested in all things, including our everyday lives. We were created through him and for him. And one of the enemy's strategies is to limit our understanding of the scope of God. If he can limit us to thinking that God's really only interested in what we do on a Sunday morning, what we do when we pray or read our Bibles or go to our home groups or listen and watch the God Channel or UCB, then he's quite pleased, because we're not recognising that God made everything and is interested in all things. We also saw how it was not easy. John 10:10 says, "The thief comes only to steal, kill and destroy." And this is what he is continually trying to do, and we need to be aware of it. At the moment, he wants to steal our hope and our joy through this virus. He wants us to be disabled by fear, distracted by looking back at what we've lost, wishing for a time when everything is better, instead of living in the promise of Jesus for now. Because Jesus, the second half of John 10:10 says, he has come that we might have life and have it to the full now. So I want to encourage you to seek God for what he is doing now and is revealing to us as a church for now and for the future. Church before COVID was great, but what I believe we've been hearing from God through our weekends of prayer is that he's doing a new thing. He's calling us to align ourselves with him, and as each of us does that, we will discover a greater unity as we all face in the same direction, God's direction. He's also said we will need perseverance, hard work, and there will be no shortcuts. That we need to learn about gracious waiting and patience. But he also wants to fill us with his spirit. Think of those pictures of the sails and the canal locks filling up. He wants us to overflow into our communities as the glory of God fills the earth through his people. I think God is using this time to rebalance us. Last week, Matt talked about the picture of the three circles representing the individual in the centre, our gathered times about that, around that, and then our scattered times in the outer circle. And each of those things are important. We can grow in our relationship with Jesus through our individual time with him, through gathering together and encouraging one another, and through meeting the challenges head on with Jesus in our times when we are scattered. And maybe we have relied too much in the past on the gathered times. Coronavirus has put us in a unique situation that the Western Church has not experienced in decades. We have become very familiar with the way we did church, and although at times it was frustrating, I think many of us didn't want or plan to radically change it. And now we can't do many of the good things we were doing before. At the moment, we can't gather in large numbers to sing worship songs together. We can't lay hands on to pray. We can't eat in large gatherings. We can't even meet in our small groups in each other's homes. We can't run our toddler groups or our cafes. Last time I said this, the church is the body of Christ and is called to shape the culture around us, to take the things before us and bring Christ's redemptive and restorative power into those things, be they our homes, workplaces, communities, shops, systems, government, laws. And the church does not do this when they hang out together on a Sunday morning. We do it when we leave that place and live life. We long to gather together, and I know some of you are desperate to get back to church on Sundays. We hear your cry, and we're looking at ways to help you to gather to worship again. But don't expect it to be the same as it was before. We're constrained by pages of government guidelines, but I believe we were made for community, to spur one another on. And meeting in person is so much better than every other way. But it won't be in big groups for a while. We won't be able to sing together for a while. And it might not be on a Sunday. If you can join us on Zoom on Monday the 27th of July, I would encourage you to do this, as we will use some of this time to talk about how we can move towards gathering again. That meeting's going to be at 7 o'clock in the evening. So I encourage you to remain thankful for all that we have, even if it isn't quite what you'd like it to be. And be creative. Ask God to show you and us how we can gather in meaningful ways and how you can display Christ, whatever your circumstances are at the moment. We're already discovering things that we can do. Get to know a neighbour better. Challenge our organisations about the value of pastoral care where our working environment might be entirely home-based. Question what our purpose is and re-evaluate where we get our value from. Spend more time with our children. Reach out to the most needy with food and support. Use the internet for new and imaginative connections. I want to leave you with three key verses based on three words: wherever, whatever, and whoever. So firstly, wherever. Wherever you are, God is at work. Romans 12, verse 1 in the Message says, "So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering." Secondly, whatever you do matters to God. Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do, nothing is excluded. And finally, whoever you are, your value and worth is not in what you do, but in who God says you are. Ephesians 1 verses 11 and 12 in the Message says, "It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we're living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living. Part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. It's God who works through us as sons and daughters, and he wants to work in you this week. So finally, please keep sharing your stories. Stories are powerful, and they help us remind us that God is at work. They make us realise that what's possible in the lives of other people is also possible in our own. And they can fire up our imaginations and expectancy to see God at work in our circumstances. Thank you.